It's a Wednesday afternoon at a public library north of Toronto, and there's a career fair underway for young people who aren't in education or employment. This will also be the setting shortly for a town hall discussion hosted by Canada's Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau.
And now I'm delighted to welcome a very special guest to lead this town hall discussion. I'm therefore very pleased to introduce you to the Right Honourable Justin Trudeau, our Prime Minister and Minister of Youth.
At this point in Justin Trudeau's premiership, with a little over a year to go until his re-election campaign here, there's a sense that Justin Trudeau might be attempting to return to what he feels he does best.
Thank you so much, Richard. Thank you, all of you, for coming out. And thank you to Opportunity for All Youth for pulling this together. This is really something that I think is extraordinarily important.
For a prime minister that enjoyed such a long political honeymoon, this past year has arguably proved to be the most testing of his premiership so far, since he was swept into office back in November in 2015.
This, for me, is one of the things that I really like doing the most. But more than that, to be able to highlight what I think politics should be all about. Because politics is no more nor less than how we choose as a society, as a communities, to come together and organize ourselves and pick the direction we're going in and have our say in how we shape the future that we're all a part of. And the best way to do that for me is by actually having real, genuine conversations.
But for many observers on either side of the political spectrum here, there's a sense that the glow of Trudeau's entry to the Prime Minister's office has dimmed significantly. And he is a Prime Minister that, despite his high standing around the world, is finding that audiences at home are hardening towards him.
Politics is, by its very nature, highlighting contrasts and perspectives and opinions, and that's part of why it's successful and why democracies are successful, because whoever's in power has an opposition that is there to challenge, to push, to say, is this really the right thing? Maybe you should have done it this way, or maybe you shouldn't do this. And it forces whatever party is in power to really make sure we're doing the right kinds of things and really think things through.
The questions from the young audience ranged around the library's central atrium range from employment for the young, support for young entrepreneurs with children, immigration policy, housing affordability, even the role that Queen Elizabeth, the British monarch, continues to play in Canada's constitutional affairs.
Okay. My question for you is, what are your thoughts on monarchy? Do you see us freeing ourselves from paying the English royal family taxes in the future?
First of all, Canadian taxpayers pay very minimal amounts to the British monarchy.
And it's a forum that Trudeau appears particularly comfortable with. As question after question is cast his way, he seems to relish the opportunity to look his audience in the eye, particularly with a corner of the electorate that arguably swept his Liberal Party into office in the first place by a comfortable majority, despite analysis at the time that suggested that that was unlikely given the flux in Canadian political appetites back in 2015.
Empowering young people has been at the centre of everything I've done. In 2015, when we were running for election, one of the things when I was running to be Prime Minister, one of the things I heard all the time was that don't bother reaching out to young people because young people don't vote. Indeed, youth turnout had been declining significantly in Canada over the past number of elections. And people took that as a reason that young people don't care about politics, don't care about their community, don't care about things that have an impact. They're too wrapped up in their own thing. Well, anyone who said that, for me, demonstrated they hadn't spent a lot of time talking to, listening to, or engaging with youth over the past years.
But since the spring, Trudeau's approval ratings have dipped dramatically. Some analysts point out that the PM is currently less popular at this stage in his premiership than his predecessor in the job, the former Conservative leader Stephen Harper.
We're at a time where there's a lot of anxiety about your futures, about your jobs, about what the world's going to look like 5 years from now, about where the next wave of good jobs are going to come from, about the changes, whether it's environmental or around conflict, around the world. There's a lot of reasons to feel stressed out about the world.
So why exactly are Trudeau's approval ratings at home wobbling right now? On paper, there is arguably much to show for his government's first term in office so far. The economy, which was until recently the fastest growing in the G7, continues to perform well, bolstered by sectors ranging from artificial intelligence, green technologies, and even film and TV production. His government's immigration policies, particularly those involving refugees from Syria's civil war, were as celebrated at home as they were overseas. And this coming October, Canada will become the largest nation to decriminalise the recreational use of marijuana, a key election pledge for Trudeau back in 2015. But Trudeau's approval ratings dipped most acutely in March, shortly after an official visit to India, which was overshadowed by a string of apparently unscripted mishaps, something that struck many as highly unusual for a leader who'd carved much of his persona in office on his understanding of the potency of political PR. A contested federal budget, an apparent backtracking on a vow to implement proportional representation to the Canadian voting system, and, most recently, an announcement by his government that it would buy a controversial pipeline project in Western Canada have all buffeted the Prime Minister's reputation at home. But then, in June, Canada hosted the G7 Summit of World Leaders in the Charlevoix region of Quebec, and this happened.
Chris, there's a special place in hell for any foreign leader that engages in bad faith diplomacy with President Donald J. Trump and then tries to stab him in the back on the way out the door.
We hugged, we kissed, everybody was happy. I made some changes in this ridiculous thing that everybody agreed to sign to. It was meaningless, but I made some changes. I left, everybody was happy. Prime Minister Abe said President Trump was right. Everybody was in love. So I get onto the plane and I see Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, saying, Canada will not be bullied by the United States. I said, what are we doing here?
Donald Trump announced a range of tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminium imports into the US about a week before the summit in Charlevoix. Justin Trudeau's retaliation evoked an extraordinary rebuke from the White House. Canada's targeted retaliatory tariffs, which impact American-made products from ketchup to washing machines, were accompanied by an announcement that the government would pump in about $2 billion Canadian dollars into those industries to protect them from the new American levies. How much Trudeau's response will buffer him from the wobbling support at home still remains unclear. But with a year to go until the election here, Trudeau will do well to balance his approach to the turbulence in international affairs with the smaller scale, more intimate interactions with voters like that taking place at the public library north of Toronto today. If Trudeau's critics painted the 45-year-old as a political novice when he ran for the premiership nearly 3 years ago, then his political nous has certainly been tested most keenly over the past month or so.
And one of the calculations that I've made, one of the fundamental values and beliefs that I have, is that we can only really solve the challenges we're facing if we pull together, if we bring together all our different voices and perspectives to solve the big challenges. And you can't do that when you're busy shouting at each other or mistrusting each other for reasons of geography or culture or history or religion. And instead, we have to realize that the only way we succeed as a society, as communities, is to work together.
If it's on the big stage that Trudeau has arguably succeeded most potently in his premiership so far, in the imagery at least, it may well be in the smaller, more intimate settings of town hall meetings like this one, speaking to voters face to face, away from the apparent glare of the international spotlight, that his attempt to win a second term might begin in earnest.
We have to get into the mindset of accepting that there are complicated answers to complicated questions and no perfect solutions, and that no one person or even one political party can have all the solutions. But if all of us work together, if all of us weigh in together, if all of us reflect on how to build a better future, we will be able to do that. We hopefully will be able to figure it out all together.
For Monocle in Toronto, I'm Tomos Lewis.